Hey, you may have thought it was spooky and creepy where you were yesterday, but you sure found a great way of topping it today, boy. You found Long Island's only automotive talk show, Motor Mouth Radio, with your hosts, Ray Guarino, and my illustrious co-host, Chris Switzer. How are you, Chris?
Doing well, Ray. Just took the mask off. Everything is fine.
Oh, I was just going to say, Chris, take the mask off. It's time to do the show.
Hey, Halloween is over, Weirdling. Why don't you take off the mask? What movie is that from?
I don't know, but I do realize I just forgot to place the Scotty Gosson promo. So a minute earlier. Okay.
Wait, we got to sing it.
Well, I'll tell you this. Let me give you a little bit of Scotty Gosson combo news. I spoke with Scotty and then his compatriot, Rob, just this week. Actually, just yesterday, I had an email with Rob. And they're doing some new drops and new audio things that we may be able to incorporate into the show. So I mentioned to them, hey, you know what? A promo that reflects on our lineup would be great in the beginning. Sure. So we'll see what they come up with. I don't know.
I'd be looking forward to that. Definitely looking forward to that. So that's cool. Well, yeah. Halloween go well? Did you have got a lot of ghouls and goblins and ghosts and stuff? Did you decorate your vehicle?
Yeah, there's always ghouls and goblins around here. And no matter where I go, I run into them. No, around the house, it's always quiet. We've always, I don't live in some outlying dacha somewhere that's hard to get to. But it's just that where I am, I'm on a dead end. And you know, it's not a big one.
So, right.
Just where I am, luckily, you know, just. And now the funny thing is, like, years ago, the kids on the block were, you know, we had some kids on the block between my family and a family across the street. Now all those kids are grown, but there's two new families on the side of us here that do have little kids. And I guess everybody just is trick-or-treating in place. You know, they're doing something inside. I think that's the mantra. So how about by you? How about in the glorious?
Oh, it's, you know, in suburban land, it was a trick-or-treat fest. You know, living on a block that looks like it's out of a 1950s sitcom, it's got its benefits because there's still a lot of kids in the neighborhood. And you could tell because they run across the lawn. You always see the kids, they don't go down the driveway, they don't go up the street and back up the driveway to the next house. They run across the lawn. And I told my daughter, I says, don't run across the lawn. And she's like, why? I said, there's a story I've heard many, many years ago about running across the lawn during Halloween. I had a friend of mine at the time that had a house in Fairfield. And literally, they had a problem with their septic tank. So they had to dig the septic tank out. And, of course, the hole in the lawn was there during Halloween.
Sure.
So, of course, the kids are cutting across the lawn. It's dark. One of them falls in the hole.
Wow.
Where the septic tank was. So, if you think about it, that's a lot like life. Because 1 minute, you could be running across the lawn with a bag full of candy, anticipating the next great win, and the next minute, you could be in a hole full of poop.
You're swimming in crap. Isn't that the way things go? Let me tell you.
It describes the show completely.
Let me ask you this. What was her reaction to that statement?
Oh, my daughter has the sense of humor of a 12-year-old boy. She loves it.
Like her dad.
Anything that involves poop humor, she's on it.
Wow.
loves bathroom humor, my kid. It's amazing. Yeah, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So that was the high point of Halloween. But it went well.
Good
time was had by all. So
nice.
Didn't have to decorate the police car or anything like that, so it wasn't so bad.
That's good. You know, I was talking with a couple people this week, and your car, your projects come up. Notably, I was talking with our good friend Dougie from the UD, you know, Dougie and Johnny.
Yes.
And we were talking about stuff, and we were just going through the whole thing, like with the interior parts and what you have to find. And the distributor, you know, Doug put me on to a lead that, I should have thought of this. He said, did you talk to that guy, Craig, that does the parts? You know, my buddy that we see at English Town, we would see him at English Town all the time.
Yeah.
Craig Staley, mobile parts.
Craig Staley.
And we would usually like sometimes walk around him because like once he grabs you, like you're not leaving there for like, right?
Right. You're going to get a story. Well, Craig Stanley looks incredibly like a very good friend of mine named Tony Jockey, who we've spoken to on this program.
Like Tony. Okay.
They are brothers that don't know each other.
Okay. Well, Craig, and stupidly, I forgot this. Craig's business is he specializes in selling new and maybe even used, but I know new parts for cars from like the 30s to the 70s.
Mm.
And he has NOS stuff. You know, it's all in the boxes. And so Doug said, well, he should have a vacuum advance. I bet you he's got one. So
yeah.
What Doug sent me a picture of the flyer. And Craig's flyers, I mean, are so – he hand draws them still. Like,
oh, boy.
I'm going to send it to you.
Okay.
And there's an email address, a Yahoo address, and there's also a phone number so that you can contact him if you want and see if he's got your part. He may just have it.
If I will put some time aside, a couple of days aside for when that phone call needs to be made, and I will make it.
I would email him.
Maybe that's a better idea.
I don't know how often he checks it. It could be one of those things where,
it's got to wind up the computer.
Right.
It's got to pour water in it, get it to bubble first, get the steam going
exactly. Before
he can check his email. I got it. Yeah, one of those. Okay. Yeah, one of those technological marvels. I always appreciate them. They're a fun bunch.
Yeah, I will send that to you and I'll get it off to you.
Yes, and by the way, to our almighty webmaster, to our web know-it-all, I don't know if that kid kept trick-or-treating. I don't know, but just we don't know. Yeah, he could have been the turd monster. We don't know.
Right.
That vacuum advance is actually kind of gotten pushed to the side for my new unobtainium part that I have to find.
Oh.
And that is the rocker molding clips.
Oh, right.
Holy smokes. We're talking about complete miscalculations at all levels on this. Because I'll type in C-body. I'll type in Chrysler. I'll type in Chrysler 300. I will type in all of these things and lower rocker moldings. You know what I get? B-body stuff. Belvedere's, Chargers. Now I'm thinking to myself, are these the same size? Knowing the powers that be at Chrysler in the late 60s, I will say that's a big fat no. I would say these are not the same size, and I would never want to assume that because Chrysler's got to be the strangest company. I mean, I could understand B-bodies, I can understand even A-bodies. I can understand darts and dusters. And restoring these cars are getting a little easier because they're starting to migrate back into the catalogs. But the big boys are still...
Well, you know,
we've
spoken with Mark Warman years ago and even Tony D'Agostino from Tony's Parts about that.
And what were their responses?
Yeah, they all said the same thing. Man, when you're dealing with C-bodies, you know, it's gotten a little better, but you're kind of on your own.
And you know what? I've even admitted this. I'm thinking Chryslers are all the same for crying out loud. Why don't these guys know anything? And I really thought that up until now, I realized, yeah, other than engines and transmissions and rear end drivetrains, basically everything else on these big cars are for those big cars, and that's it. They're, it's an island unto itself.
Right.
You really can't mix and match from very little, I should say. From a C-body, big Chrysler, big Dodge, big Plymouth to a smaller midsize. They really are. There's a lot of stuff that's more independent than I thought would be.
Yeah.
I was talking to an individual about the clock, and here's something. You want to? You got a minute? I'm talking about a clock. You got a minute?
Yeah.
I was on the C-Bodies Only website, and I was checking into if anyone could do a clock update.
Just take a breath for a second. Let me ask you, because I just want to clarify, is that like, quote, C-Bodies Only, end quote, or is it the only C-Body site that exists?
No, it's C-Bodies Only. That's the name. Thank you. Okay. That's the name of the site. It's the name of the forum. And I wanted to get the clock updated with like a quartz movement.
Right.
Because I'm thinking, I don't need the original movement. That's who needs that? But I went and researched a little bit. One guy on the C-Body site said they can tell the difference between a quartz movement clock and a standard regular stock factory clock.
In 2 seconds, you can tell.
Okay. One way is that the second hand actually clicks in second intervals for the quartz movement. For the stock movement, it sweeps.
No, you have it backwards.
What?
Yeah, you have it backwards.
Well, this is what the forum said. But go ahead, tell me.
I can hear my clock. It ticks in the because it's a mechanical. If you think of it, it's a mechanical progression. That's gears.
Yeah.
Quartz is electronic, so it's just that sweep.
Okay. Maybe. I don't think I read it backwards, but I'll go with yours and we'll see what happens.
Right. But you know, that's the thing. If you don't care, you know, like I had my clock rebuilt by Marilyn, the clock lady. You know,
right.
And I just had this crazy hair up my butt that I wanted the original mechanical clock. I just wanted that. And she was able to do that for me. Sure. Every time, you know, I don't drive the car all the time. It sits for weeks. And whenever time I go out, I got to adjust it like 15 minutes. It loses.
Right.
Who cares? You know, that's the price that I'm willing to pay for having an original clock. And I can still hear those points close. Even
yeah.
on the garage working, I'll hear those points close. My clock's still working.
You know? And you know what the points are? It's when the clock winds down and needs to be rewound. The two points come together, and then when they come together, an electric shock, electric current happens. It springs that one point back, so it actually winds.
Absolutely, that's correct.
So you want to give out the phone number, or should I give out the phone number?
Go right ahead, please.
Phone number today. 516-256-9510. If you want to get in on the silliness, or if you have any ghoulish stories, ghoulish automotive stories, please. 516-256-9510. That's Ray Guarino. I'm Chris Switzer here on Motormouth Radio, your fine upstanding automotive program, where we try not to be crotchety old men.
but we fail. No, they can follow us on social media platforms, of course, on the web and on Facebook and on Twitter, we're Motor Mouth Radio, and on Instagram, we're Joe's favorite, which is real_ Motor Mouth Radio. Mm-hmm. And that's where you can, we have a couple of new posts that went up this week. One went up today, so you can go and check it out.
Yes.
So, Marilyn can do that conversion for you as well. You know, and if you don't have her info, I'll send that to you because, you know, Marilyn was a very active part of this show a few years ago.
Yeah.
Well, all the time. Now, she is on Facebook. I know because my wife follows her on Facebook because they have some common interests. And so she's still around. You know, she's still around and kicking, doing mm-hmm. stuff. But we can take care of that. I did something yesterday that I wanted to just mention because it's always made me scratch my head, and on my
take
own
a shower.
Car, yeah, I know I should
wash your hair.
Now I need to use a brush. I'm using conditioner again. It's all sorts of.
Dude, you got that pompadour going, man.
Oh, I'm telling you, I know.
Whoa, I'm digging it.
You should see me in the morning. I look like Andy Perillo on a bad afternoon.
you look like Dr. Emmett Brown, huh?
Okay.
Hey, Rieger. Hey, Marty.
Let me tell you, because when you sleep, your hair goes all, and I have a lot of it now. And my wife said that to me just this morning. I came out and I sat at the kitchen table and we're chatting for a second before I went to take a shower. Goes, you know, I got to say, you really look like the guy from Back to the Future. I'm like, hey, thanks.
Hey.
I think that is a compliment. So anyway, the thing I wanted to tell you about was it's very interesting and it's curious. I had used my car, my soon-to-be my soon-to-be gone Mazda. If I can find someone to buy it, I drove it in the rain this week a lot on the parkways. I had to make a few trips in that deluge that we had. The deluge. Ooh.
Yeah, sure.
No problem there. But yesterday, I needed to do an oil change on the car, probably the last one I'm going to ever do to it. And while I had it up on the lift, I remembered that since I had changed the lower control arms at some point, I had greasable ball joints. And I also had greasable sway bar links because I had replaced them.
Okay.
I said, okay, while the oil's drained, let me grab the grease gun and pump a little of grease in. Yeah. Clean the Zerk fitting, of course. Put the thing on. Pump, pump, pump. And what do I see? And I've seen this before. It always makes me take notice. The first thing that comes out is this blast of water.
Water.
It's like, yeah. And I'm like, how the heck did it get in there?
You know? Yeah.
So the point is that this stuff should be done. If you have greasable fittings, grease them, you know, occasionally, a couple times a year, maybe, you know, just to make sure, because the water gets in. If there's enough water in there, it's going to cause corrosion and rust, and it's going to take out the fittings. But yeah, it always makes me shake my head and say, look at that. You know, in a sealed thing with a, I mean, obviously it's a boot, but it's on a ball, so it's not really hermetically sealed.
But it's pretty darn close. That you...
Tightly sealed, right. But it's not. And the water does get in there. So,
wow.
Yeah, there's a tip for you. You know, get your, next time you have your car in for oil change, just ask the guy if there's any, you know, mechanics are so used to having ungreasable, non-greasable front end components these days. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the replacement stuff comes with Zerk fittings that you can install. So,
right.
And now the car, yeah, as cars have been repaired, they get those parts.
I think I told you when I did the front end on the TR6, I was replacing it with components that did not have grease fittings on them, and I took the next step and I was able to just drill a small hole into the cap and install a grease fitting in there. But I had a laugh because when I looked in, once I drilled the hole and I was able to see inside how much grease was in there, there really wasn't a heck of a lot. Like, right. It looks like some grease was just, it looked like the size of what you can get on your thumb and just slide it in there and then close it all up. They really didn't put a lot of grease in there. At least they didn't put as much as I expected them to be. So when I put the grease fitting on there, I definitely got the grease gun and pumped it up. And I got a couple of good shots in there before I was comfortable with the amount of grease that was left in there. And I'm thinking, you're saying that there's water that can get in there. Well, you can get a good cap full of water in there with your grease in your sealed grease fitting.
It's real interesting that you say that about the amount, because I read an article in, it was in Motor Magazine, it was Break and Front End. It was about a year or so ago. I probably have it saved someplace. And they asked, somebody had written in and asked about the amount of grease that's in these components, because maybe they did the same thing. It might have taken one apart. I don't know.
Right.
And they investigated. And, of course, they spoke to engineers at Moog and at, you know, for the aftermarket places. And then they spoke to engineers at the manufacturing, you know, at maybe GM and Ford. I don't know. I don't remember who.
And they all lied, I'm sure.
Well, they all said that they've done, you know, their engineers have determined how much grease is needed for that component to function. And
wait, let me roll up my pants. Hold on. I'm rolling up my pants here.
Right. Because what they didn't put in was just get it past warranty. You know, they didn't say that.
All right, I'm putting my pants back down now.
And I know, I remember now, Joe has talked about this, where a lot of, you know, with the manufacturers, they will put, and I've seen this in other instances too, literally just enough to make it seal or work. And
yeah,
gasket stuff. Now, with gasket material, yes, people overuse that, and that can cause a lot of problems, internal engine problems.
Sure.
But grease, and you know, listen, all that extra grease that comes out, if you multiply that by every car on the line that was built, you'd probably have a barrel, you know, by lunchtime, you know, which someone's paying for it. So sure. It all comes down to money. So basically, if you have a non-greasable component, yeah, you're unless you do what you do. And if you do that, if anybody wants to try and do that drill, either a ball joint or a sway bar link, I recommend magnetizing your drill bit.
Yes.
So that you catch as many chips as possible.
You're not going to catch them all, but yeah.
But you only need a small hole. You only need a small hole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to say like 110,000ths, maybe 100 and, yeah, something like that. Yeah, but that's, you know, like I said, everything these days is non-greasable. The stuff has been sealed for years, and we tend to. I even did it only because I was standing there, like, okay, what am I going to do now? You know, I'm looking around under the car. I'm like, oh, probably last time I'll look at this exhaust system. You know, I'm like, oh, a grease fitting.
I love that you get all weepy under your car saying, this is the last time to be looking at this.
You know, my wife was asking me, I'm talking about, you know, doing a transfer. And I said, look, I told the guy, look, I had the money. Everything is ready to go. I could do it. I'm looking for rims. I have to put tires on the new vehicle,
right?
And I want to change the rims, so I want to buy the rims first. And I've been finding, now granted, they're new, brand new steel wheels, but they're like $98 a piece. And there's something about it. I just don't want to spend $100 for a steel wheel.
Right. Hey,
call me cheap. Go right ahead.
I'd say thrifty, but I wouldn't call you cheap.
Yeah, you know, on certain things, I don't mind. You know, like I'll spend more on the tires because I place more value on those tires in my life. But I don't want to spend as much on those. So I still got to look at a couple of junkyards and whatever. And I found them at a place out, again, in California. It's like, okay, guys got them for $70 a rim. But then once you ship them,
forget it.
I'm back up to $90-something a rim. So,
if not more, it's true. That's true. And yeah, this is what I'm finding interesting. It's not just my old Chrysler that's hard to find parts for. I think it has gotten to that point where everything is just skyrocketing. The prices for everything are just skyrocketing. It is just astronomical. Every once in a while, I'll go on like Facebook and look at what cars are being sold for. And I'm looking for older cars just to see. Maybe there's a deal out there. Maybe I could pick up something else. I don't know. But as I go along, I've come to realize more and more individuals have cars sitting in their yards or have them sitting in their garages that are complete junk piles. And they're asking huge amounts of money for them. And to the point where I look at it and go, this person wants their garage cleaned out and they want you to give them money for it. It's literally. And that's why I'm just completely... I'm just backing away. But when it comes down to something like that, when it comes down to like steel wheels, $100 a piece, a steel wheel is something I think you could probably find. You could probably find those. They're not really damageable per se, or if they are damageable, you could certainly see it in the picture and know that it's junk.
Yeah, right.
It's not like an aluminum wheel or a cast wheel that's a little bit more fragile and that you would probably spend more for. Sure. But a steel wheel. Now, mind me, why do you want to put steel wheels on this?
You know, well, the car has aluminum wheels now, but they're like a spoked rim.
Yeah.
But the aluminum is like the finish is peeling off on the sections between the spokes.
Yes.
And they're starting to look a little ugly. Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
So they should
Pathfinder at it like in spades. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. So they could be probably blasted down, stripped and repainted or powder coated. But then the thing's sitting there with no wheels on it, you know.
Right.
So I figure, let me get the steel wheels because, well, the look I'm going after, the vehicle is white over black. So it looks like a, you know, like an old patrol car, right? It's like a black and white police car, which is kind of cool. I like that. Even though I don't like black vehicles. I have a picture one where the guy put on the black wheels with chrome lug nuts and white leather tires.
Nice.
And I said to Douglas, it's going to be my A-team vehicle. You know, I feel like I'll be like BJ Baracus. I got to get some chains and, you know, but because I just think it's a tough look, you know, and it's, you know, it's just kind of tough. So,
okay.
Now, on the other hand, you could buy an aftermarket aluminum wheel, a mag wheel, for as little as like $110, $115 a piece, you know.
Yeah, but do you want to go that route?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. So I'm not going to spend $100 for a steel wheel. I gotta make some calls. And I told Doug yesterday, I said, Dougie, I said, you know where I'm coming from, right? I needed to commiserate. I said, you know that there's guys in shops. I said, if you look around where you are in the UD, there's probably a stack of them somewhere. Guys have this stuff.
He was telling the same thing.
And then he told me how he was selling off some parts. And because we all have way too much stuff. And he found some stuff. He just started walking around picking stuff up and said, this. And he said he had some Cadillac rims. I don't know what kind of rims, but he posted them. A guy from the neighborhood came over, bought them in a second. Yeah, I need those for my car. I'm like, he said he had them in boxes. You had them in the boxes sitting probably two blocks from the guy's house.
Yep.
He didn't know it. I said, I know those rims are sitting somewhere. They're around. They're around.
Because, you know, there's some guy that bought one of those that wanted to doll it up a little bit and wanted to yank those steel wheels off there and put on some aftermarket rims. Why there's more of those people out there than us is beyond me.
The beauty is the rim also fits off a Tacoma, the Toyota Tacoma. So there's and it may even be others. I don't know. You know, it's a 17 inch six lug wheel. So it's a truck wheel, obviously.
Yeah,
there's got to be someone's got them.
No, you're absolutely right, because there's more. I see it all the time, and I don't understand it. Can someone please explain to me why would you buy an old 60s or 70s vehicle and put those huge aftermarket rims on them? What is so appealing about this?
You're talking about making it a donk.
What is this ghetto wheel thing? I don't get it. Is it our age? Are we becoming cranky old men again on this show? Why is this happening? And I have to laugh because even on this C-body only forum, a lot of these Chryslers get subjected to this taste in wheels. Yeah, and I love some of the guys will post, here's a car for sale, but look out, ghetto wheel alert.
Right. like, a couple lug nuts and there and it's off. So
you would hope.
Easy. Yeah.
One would hope.
I know. It really, you know, it's not my taste. I don't particularly you know what it is? You know what it does? It actually, every time I see one, I kind of chuckle, I laugh. It actually amuses me.
it amuses you.
So yeah, I get a little bit of a joy out of it. I'm like, hey.
How's that joy happen again? I want to see the joke.
I look at when it goes by, I'm like, hey, you jerk.
You know, for years, and this is something that I know you've fallen into the same category at times. I think I do it more than you do, but I always try and keep it stock, because I always think to myself, there are designers out there that get paid hundreds and thousands of dollars to come up with the right look. And you know what? If that's the look for the car and they came up with it and they earn more money than I do, then that's the look I'm going for.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree with that to a point. I mean, you know, I like to personalize. I like to hot rod. But my own drivers that I drive, I've kept, you know, I haven't modified my regular drivers because they look fine. I bought them because I like the way they looked in the first place.
No,
actually, the one Mazda we have, the knockaround Mazda, that does have black steel wheels on it now for a number of years. Uh-huh. And the reason is, but it wasn't a design thing. It's just that the aluminum wheels just got porous. I was losing air in the tires regularly.
Yeah.
And it was, they would just, you know, and I broke them down. I cleaned them. I bead sealed them again. I was like, I would have to put tubes in these stupid things. I finally said, the hell with it. They're coming off. I'm going to get in at the junkyard. Give me four steel rims. I bead blasted them in my blaster. Painted them with a nice epoxy black paint. Done.
Done. Haven't lost an ounce of air, right?
It's fine.
Yeah. So. Right. The tires are still inflated and everything's fine. It's the same thing with the cop truck I have. It's got steel wheels on it.
Yeah.
Right. I haven't lost a single pound of air in the tires. Nothing. And already on the Mazda that I have, the CX-9 has got aluminum wheels already. One of the tires has started with a slow leak last year.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you just know it's going to happen again.
Here's a tip. Here's something that I came across at the shop quite by accident, but I have to tell people about it. Just go to each wheel. Do you have, you know, the valve stem where you put the air in the tire? The stem unscrews inside for people who don't know that.
Sure.
But usually, if you have a pencil style air gauge, there's a little knurled cap on the back of it on the sliding part that you could unscrew, and that has a slotted. A little stud with a slot on it, which you can, that'll remove a valve stem. You can.
Really?
Not all of them have it, but the good ones and the older ones all do. And you can buy a dedicated tool, but just go in and give those valve stems a little turn. Make sure sometimes they loosen up.
Ray, that's brilliant. I never even thought of that. That's brilliant.
Like I said, I came across that by accident at the shop one day when I was tracking down a leak in a tire. And I said, you know what? What else? And because, you know, we buy boxes of valve stems. You know, it's a valve stem with the stem in it and the cap. It's all assembled.
And it's got a little rubber donut on it, if I'm not mistaken, around the midsection of it.
Well, it's like a big, it's a big mushroom. But, you know, you use the tool, you pop it into the rim, you mount the tire, you air it up, you're done. You never touch the valve. Well, actually, what you do, the only time you touch the valve is when we're going to break a tire down, you take your valve tool and you can unscrew that valve. A lot of guys just take a pair of sidecars or dykes and just cut the thing off, or they just rip it out.
Love those guys.
But the thing is, you know, that valve is serviceable. And I found one. It was loose one day, and that was a mysterious leak in air. And they can it could have been that it was bought that way and installed, and, you know, and just over the years just slowly worked its way looser.
And you can always check with a bottle of Windex, right?
An
inflated tire, spray the valves, the valve stem. Just spray it. And if it starts to bubble, there's your culprit right there. Wow. Good to know.
I'll tell you what else is bubbling. Our bottom of the hour break. We're going to take a little recess here, have a little boiling cauldron of oil, and maybe refresh our palates. But first, do we have that thing that happens at the bottom of the hour all the time on this show? And yes, gosh darn it, I remembered. It's called the group of the page of the... Oh, the honor group of the hour, yes. Do we have
Yes, as a matter of fact, right? Glad you were able to remember that thing that we had at the bottom of the hour. And it is the Motormouth Radio honor group of the hour. If you can diagnose the problem in the car next to you while waiting at a traffic light, you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. You know that grinding noise that's next to you? You know what that is. The squealing noise that's sitting in the car next to you? You know what that is too. But the heavy breathing noise, that's the one that stumped you. You know when the car pulls up and you hear the noise, then the car pulls away and the noise stays there? You know you got a problem. So if you can involuntarily driver seat diagnostics, if you can do that to the car next to you, you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. There you go.
That's excellent. That's very good. And I'll tell you, you want to get some diagnostics done on your car body-wise, you go see the guys at Celebrity Chase. They know their business down there in Lenabrook, and they will take care of it. Let's hear what they have to say. Well, someone has to say now, and we'll be back in a little bit. Ray Guarino for Chris Switzer, Motormouth Radio. We'll be back in just a scant couple minutes, so keep it where you got it, on 90.3 WHPC.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Hey, you in the car? Yeah, you. You're a fan of the music of Sly Stone. I know you are. No reason to hide it. You've probably been looking for a radio program that highlights his music. Well, then look no further. Let me introduce myself. I am DJ Solero. That's soul followed by air and an O. Solero. Well, never mind about that. Back to what we're both here to talk about. The Sly Stone Show features the music of Sly through the various artists who have covered and sampled his music, and I'll be playing some of the original music that helped impact a generation. Come on, I know you're looking for some feel-good music, so just keep your radio right here for the Sly Stone Show. And you might want to think about cleaning up your car before we start. This thing is nasty. Oh, back to what's important. It's the Sly Stone Show, now at a brand new time, live, Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Alrighty, ghouls and goblins, you are back with more Motor Mouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, give us a buzz, 516-256-9510. And if you're following our threads today, I've unraveled a few myself. We can follow up with that or talk about something new if you'd like. There was a rear end purchase in the family recently. You say, huh?
There's a new rear end in the family. How nice.
That's right. Mike, he gave me a call yesterday. Junior gave me a call. He had been looking for a rear end for his El Camino for a while. And, you know, they have those, I think they're like 7.5 inch or 8.5 inch, 8.5, I don't know, they're small. The small GM corporate, you know, 10 bolt rear. They're
right.
They're okay for driving around, but they're not good if you put any kind of horsepower behind them.
Yeah, it's a grocery getter wheel, rear end. Yeah.
The problem with that platform, being at El Camino or Monte Carlo, Malibu, whatever, they didn't really make, even the Monte SS rear wasn't really that robust because that engine didn't have a lot of power either, the 305 sure. that they came with. So there's one rear end, one that was in the GM lineup in those years into the 80s that had coil spring rear, a coil spring setup, drum brakes, the right, you know, width to fit in those cars. You want to take a guess on what vehicle that came out of? It was the only real performance vehicle GM made that was a true performance vehicle in the 80s, and it was black.
I was going to say it's not a Corvette. It's got to be a Grand National.
That's right. So through Muscle Car Ray, you know that name. He's the guy who's been selling muscle car parts here on the island for, I don't know, at least 30 years. I've been dealing with this guy for a long, long time.
Right.
He has everything, and his place is just like a bombshell. You know, it's like only he knows where the stuff is. But he has, from the littlest grommet or screw or clip, unfortunately, he doesn't have Chrysler stuff because it's muscle car stuff.
Right.
And then he can get your fenders and, you know, big stuff as well. So he had a connection for Mike, and they talked about it a while ago. And these things ain't cheap.
Oh, I'm sure.
Without tipping the hand, I'm going to say, he told me yesterday, to my surprise, these rear ends can go for as much as $2,000 if they're rebuilt and in, you know, in ready to go shape.
Come on.
Uh huh. I mean, he said I didn't pay that much for the car, you know. So
yeah,
he didn't pay that much for the rear. He paid substantially less, more than you would pay, more than we would ever pay for a rear end. I mean, you buy a rear end back in the day, you'd be like, hey, yeah, $200-$300, maybe $500 if it had new gears in it or something.
But what's his plan for this? That he's so hell bent on finding a robust rear end for this for the El Camino. Is he plan on doing something crazy with it? What's the goal here?
Well, you know, the goal is to put it in the Elky, and because that car has had an engine swap, so the 305 that was in it came out, and it has a nice warmed over 350, not a hot rod, not a crazy deal, but a nice, you know, a nice 350 with a you know, good tranny, and it can definitely make a little bit of power. So,
but also it's a pickup truck, so we're not talking about something that can hook up easily.
Well, that's what Mike had said. You know, I got the one wheel peel. You know, it's like it's an open rear end. He goes, I want to have literally. Listen, we all do things for the craziest reasons. We will all spend thousands of dollars for the stupidest little thing. Right. Wants to lay two black stripes of rubber.
Right. Just like spending 20 years doing a radio show. Yeah.
I said, look, we could have gone in there and welded the spider gear. We could have.
Yeah, that would have been fine. It would have cost you nothing.
Could have made a locker out of it. Of course, you go, you chirp around. So anyway.
I'm not going to ask you to do that one again.
No, the deal was in the works for a while, and now it just came back again. And the gentleman who had it, an 84-year-old guy who was a racer for 50 years. I mean, I was talking with this gentleman. Besides the vegetable garden in the backyard, he's an old Italian, you know. So we're talking about food and vegetables, and they're making a wine. He also races Buicks. He's been racing Buicks for years.
Wow.
And surprising a lot of people with his Buicks. Mm-hmm. So the deal went together yesterday, and Mike asked me, you know, what do I need to check? And I said, listen, pick me up. I'll go with you, you know. And since it was rebuilt and not used, I said there should be the yellow paint still on the ring gear, or you should be able to see it on the ring gear that's put on there. And what that the purpose of that is once you assemble the rear, you put the paint on, and then you just roll the, you turn the axle, let the ring and pinion make a revolution, and you look at the witness mark of the pinion gear on the ring gear. And if it's a shallow mark, that means you need to, you know, change the shimming so that the pinion sits deeper on the ring gear. And if the ring gear mark is way too deep on the pinion, you have to take shims out to adjust right. it.
To get the proper mesh.
Exactly. Otherwise, you're going to get, you'll get whining, you'll get overheating. You could literally burn out the rear. And mm-hmm. and if it's too tight, if it's too loose, you'll chip teeth and just, you know, you'll all sorts, you'll ruin the rear. So the rear, even though it had been there for a while, it was outside. They pulled the cover off, and you could still see the old, the yellow. I said, yeah, there it is. There's the yellow, you know, the yellow paint. And it was dead nut center. It was perfect. I said, yeah, it gets my blessing, you know. And then I looked at it. I said, oh, Mike, look, it's good. You know, it was nice. It had like 3-inch, 7/16 studs. Somebody put nice studs on there, like for, you know, for drag tires.
Right.
I said, but I forgot these cars have those wheel cylinders. I put a post on a year ago when we did his El Camino. These wheel cylinders, I want to find the guy at GM who cut these pennies and like.
Why?
Because, you know, a wheel cylinder goes through the backing plate, and there was usually 2 1/4-20 bolts that would hold it in place.
Of course.
On a GM. Well, not on these. In the 80s, what they did is the wheel cylinder goes through, and there's this like a wave washer that you have to install from the back, and you have to kind of, they sell a special tool,
yeah.
spreader. Mike bought one. It didn't work for crap. I devised a way to do it with a socket and an extension, and then a block of wood and, like, you know, pound the thing. What a pain in the neck.
You right. got to get that sleeve out of there in order for the cylinder to come out. They're saving like a half a cent not using those two bolts.
Right. That's what captures it. Now, once you put that on, the wheel cylinder is still free to rock back and forth a little bit. It can still move. I don't like the design at all, and I hate doing them on the car because the brake line is there. You got a shock absorber. You know, I mean, I did the Grand National that I worked on in the shop 2 years ago, and that thing, it fought me tooth and nail, you know, because the stuff. So anyway, I looked at him. I said, let's change those before this rear goes in. Let's do right. it around, you know. Let's not do it in the air. So, so he got himself a rear end. And I said to him on the way back, I said, you know, Mike, I said, I just want to throw something out to you. I said, because I don't know if you've thought of this or not yet. I said, but you got the rear you need. It's got a 373 Richmond gear set in it. Great gears. Posi. I said, everything is there. I said, but I know the way you think, and I know the way you and your dad think. I said, if you haven't thought of it already, I'm surprised, because you can clean this thing up. It's got some, you know, it needs a little cleanup. Clean it, paint it. I said, you could flip this thing for twice what you paid for it, going by what the rate is. I just looked on Craigslist this morning. I did a Long Island search, and I did, like, the greater metro. There's not one up for sale.
Mm-hmm.
None. So it's kind of like a seller's market at this point.
I said. Yeah.
You could double your money on it. He goes, yeah, I was thinking about that.
That's why the prices of everything are so high. It is amazing. Everybody's got cash, and they just want to spend money on stuff. It's amazing.
So I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know. We'll see.
He's gonna end up with an extra grand in his pocket, and he's still going to track one strip of rubber down the street.
Remains to be seen. You know, I don't know. I'm curious myself because – you know, in his world, he could sell that car. You know, I mean, they you know, they'd like to buy, they buy and sell. So he could decide to flip it and move the car. And I mean, that car will sell with or without the rear end. So, you know, since it needs some body work, but it's a nice car otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So
that's amazing. You know, it's funny. I did something this week as well that I did not do. I have not done since I've owned the car. I have that 93 LeBaron.
Right.
And I took it out for the first time in the evening.
Oh.
Never drove that car at night. I've had the car for a year and a half. Never drove it at night.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I thought to myself, well, I'm just going to go to the store, pick up a couple things. I said, let me take short hop, 10-minute drive. Let me take the little one. So right. it was cold. I didn't want to take the big one. The big one whines in the cold. So
sound like Dennis Benfante now.
Yeah, took the cute little one.
Not the big one.
Not the big one. So get the car fired up, turn on the headlights, come out of the garage, I turn onto the street, and I notice that one headlight is pointed one way. Another headlight is pointed way up there. I'm looking at trees. I'm like, they don't look bad because they're not the hidden headlights. They're not the regular square headlights that are easily adjustable. No, these are those flush type of headlights. So now it's like, okay, I got to figure out how to adjust those. And I'm driving along, and I'm looking at the dash, and I see I got some instrument lights, and I'm looking at the radio. I got like two small little lights on the radio. I'm like, what in the world? So I realized, and I know this is one of the things that I have a problem with. Whenever, like, I could see a car that's been in an accident and repaired. I could see it from 10, 15, 20 feet away. So I want to sit down and I want to write a book, write a pamphlet, write something on what to look for when you are looking at a vehicle that you're looking to purchase. You want to see if the car was in an accident or not. I want to write something like this. Then I want to read it.
Yeah, you should.
Then I want to take my own advice, because I look at this Chrysler and every time I look at this thing, I go, this car must have been hit and spun around. Yeah. Because I am just amazed at some of the butcher jobs on this car. It's like the panels, no panel matches up. The door closes kind of funny. I'm like, what was in my head when I bought this thing? So now I'm in the process of straightening it all out, lining up my panels and putting everything where it's supposed to be, and replacing all those pieces that were missing when the car was sent to the collision shop that were not put back on the car when it was given back to the customer.
You know, I did a good one yesterday.
And one of those things is the headlights now. Now the headlights need to be adjusted. Go right in.
Adjustable. But yeah, this is just. Yeah. I did a good one yesterday. My Mazda, it's, you know, the exhaust system for a while had been, the exhaust system itself is in okay shape. But the what do you call them? The little rods that come off the muffler that go into the hanger bushings.
Yeah.
They rusted, you know. So I fixed a couple here and there. I made some Rube Goldberg clamps, and then just this past year, I sent it to the exhaust shop, and I had them fix it even better. You know, I paid them to fix it better, and they did. And I noticed I still heard this noise in the back, a little clunky noise, and I kept saying, like, damn, sounds like it's the exhaust to me, but I know they fixed it. Well, I had it up on the lift yesterday. So I walked to the back of the car, and I just grabbed the tailpipe, and I shook it. I'm like, oh, it shook too much. Yeah, the rear one, the rod was, some of the rods are straight, and they have a 90-degree angle to go through that rubber. This was just a straight one, and it pulled out of the rubber. So the pipe was hitting the transaxle rear.
Easy fix.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, well, if you put it back in, it's going to come back out again. Right. So I couldn't bend that piece easily, so I inserted it. And what I did is I went in the toolbox and grabbed some nice strong zip ties, and I crisscrossed it in an X with these zip ties. I said, good, I'm the zip tie guy now. It's like, I'm a step away from duct tape.
Boy, if someone goes to look at this car and gets under there and sees those zip ties.
You know what? I couldn't see. I looked at it. I looked at it and I stepped back and I crossed my arms and said, okay, how can I best fix this? And I knew that the way it needs to be is that rod needs to be bent on a 90, but I'm not going to unweld it from the muffler. I mean, that was a problem the first time. You can't bend it in the car. And I said, well, I have to make sure it doesn't come out. And I said, electrical tape is not my style. So zip ties.
And you wanted to put the zip tie around the muffler.
You know, right. I tell you, in all good consciousness, I had to say, okay, you know, I'm going to sell this car. What would I say if somebody rolled under and saw that? And I would tell them just that. Like, listen, this was a fix. It's not structural. It's not going to hurt anything. Right. You know, maybe it may register on the Rube Goldberg scale, but it's not, certainly not in the yellow or the red.
You know? Oh, no, I know I've done much worse.
Oh, yeah. That's what they made bailing wire for. Listen, I had a Harley Davidson. The thing ran on bailing wire and duct tape. So,
you know. That's for sure. I you have my blessing on the repair, which is frightening enough.
No, that is.
Yeah, I would have thought of like a washer or something that I would cut the groove out of and slide it, because you know that rod has got like a little ball at the end of it that's supposed to keep the rubber in place.
You're right. In on the stock part, that's what would be there. But this one is one that probably rusted away, and they replaced it with just a straight piece of rod. So that's why there's no flared ball and no 90 degree.
That's why it's lit out.
Yeah. That's why. So I had to go to the next. I mean, they should have actually heated it. And it's a quarter-inch rod, so you're not bending with pliers. They would have had to heat it with a torch and bend it first and then cool it, you know, and then weld it to the muffler, you know, install it, weld it to the muffler. So, you know, like I said.
Unless you can maybe the first quarter inch of that rod, you can thread it.
Oh, geez. Wow.
With like a pipe threader and then hang a nut and a washer on it. That would look clutch.
That'd be cool, but it would be hard to do up where it is.
Yeah.
I tell you what I could have done. If I could have found a washer that fit over it, I could have just tack welded the washer onto it. I could have done that.
Yeah.
But I said, the welder's over there. I got to move all of this stuff out of the third bay to get the welder over here. The zip ties are right over there. Let's go for the zip ties. I always wanted to do this. You know, that's not my style of fixing things, but like, I always wanted to, I never did that. Like, now I've seen zip ties holding front end stuff together, holding all sorts of crazy stuff together, but.
Just on my cars alone, you've seen.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my.
That's hysterical. I can't believe you have stumbled to my depths of repair. It's
well, just, you know, again, and you know what? I'll say this.
Disturbing, but I'm so pleased.
I mean, the car is going to be sold, but if I was keeping it, I wouldn't feel bad about driving it that way. Not at all. Not in the least. So it's not like I'm passing it on to somebody else, you know, to try and get away with one. No, I'm not.
I would much rather see the wire ties on there, knowing that the previous owner had an attempt on repairing it, than to see the rubber slid off that anchor and just hanging there and banging up against the side of the chassis.
But that's the thing. My wife said to me today, she goes, you know, what's the thing? Why don't you just make the transfer. Why don't you just switch cars? What are you dragging your feet for? I said, well, there's a going to the bank thing. It's going to the DMV thing and the mass thing. I said, plus, she goes, are you having second thoughts? You don't want to sell that car? I said, I like my little Mazda. I like that car. I said, I do like driving it. You know, it's a 5-speed. It's easy to park. You know, I said, I've had it since it was a baby. I got it brand new. And you know, I obviously keep my stuff. I don't flip stuff.
Oh, you think?
16 years. Is it 16 years? That car's an 06. Right. So yeah. 14 years. Yeah.
14 years. So when is the Impala going to go?
Yeah, that should go too. You're right. It should, because I don't use it. You're exactly right. That should. I mean, that's got steel wheels on it.
Yeah, that's true. Take the steel wheels off that. Put them on the Toyota.
Drill an extra hole.
Sure, why not? But yeah, I mean, you know me. That's the way I work. It's if I'm not using it anymore, it's on the block. It's going on the block. I mean, I would say the most heartbreaking one was the TR6, because it was a car that I literally had taken apart and put back together again and learned a lot on. So the good and the bad. Yeah. But yeah, that was the one that was one of my recent heartbreak. Like if someone said, here it is back, I'll be like, oh, okay.
I'll tell you this, probably like me, when your daughter gets a little older, hey, you know what? That's the time to get another one. You get another little sports car and they'll be around. They'll be around.
Yeah. That's why I look, because I'm always thinking that 93 LeBaron is probably going to go.
we've always made fun of cars like that, that they're not a bad car for what they are.
Oh, it's not. No, it handles very well. It starts up perfectly. It doesn't leak. I mean, no, I have no complaints about the car whatsoever. None. Other than it's an ergonomic nightmare. It really is. In the early 90s, they started to get creative with a lot of buttons and switches, and they started to get like driver oriented, but like in some cars they put the switches like almost around the steering wheel. My Sunbird was like that. This one's like that. Try and find the headlight switch. It's up in the corner there. It's like you can't even see the silly thing. There's no knob. There's nothing on the stalk. it's up in the corner, and you got to hit that button. You got to click it and then click it off. And it's one of those tinny type of plastic Chrysler buttons that you, yeah. you hit it, and it's like you're putting your finger on like a Scrabble chip. It's like, what is what is this to do it? It's not doing anything. It's that. It's it, there's it just there's something. It's not GM.
Well, you know what? Yeah, not GM from the 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah, Will, yeah. I've actually taken my, my headlight switch apart from my Pontiac and cleaned all the contacts and put it back. Of course, Joe had to send me the engineering diagram for how it goes back together, because I found out when you take it apart, there's springs and balls that go boing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you boy. Are
better that man than me, Gunga Din. I wouldn't have done that.
But you know what? I was determined. And I, you know, like the car wasn't going anywhere. It was in a million pieces. So I said, good, this is my project for the next week or month, however long. I got it back together. I did. I got that. And it works.
Good but, for you.
Man, what a, I would never recommend that to anybody.
I would have taken a gallon of carburetor cleaner and just dumped it in there and let it sit for a week.
I'm about to clean each contact, because I know I had some, you know, some overheating over the years, because all the current for the headlights on those cars is pulled through the switch.
Right.
Bad design. Bad design. It's to, the only thing worse to me is the way Chrysler ran all the charge current through the, an ammeter in the dashboard without using a battery cable, you know, so all wires. That's the only other, well, they didn't burn. So anyway, we're going to be winding down. People should chew on this stuff for the week. You know, I mentioned to you before the show, Chris, I'm working on getting another one of the YouTube phenoms on. Guy named Chris Fix. People may have watched his stuff.
Yes.
Channel. And I sent him a message to which he didn't reply, which I'm not surprised.
Mm-hmm.
But I found out I know two guys. I know two guys.
Two guys.
That know him. So I told the two guys, hey, tell that guy that this guy sent him a message and he should answer me and that he should talk to me because it's okay because you say so. So
right.
We'll see what we'll see if Chris plays by our rules.
Okay,
I understand I'm looking forward he's in to New Jersey, so we may have to send a local posse out to knock on his door. You know what I mean?
Do I have to go brush up the get the town car running and the black Lincoln?
I think we can take care of this. You don't even have to leave your state.
Okay, good, good, good. Because you know, I don't know if I can fit in the suit anymore.
Right, I know. Yeah, I know. It's. That's a hard one.
Who knows?
So that's it. That's what we got maybe coming up. And there's another couple things in the future. But I don't listen, I'm afraid to even mention we're going to have guests because like the last one crapped out on us. So I want to. I don't even know.
Hey, so, it's live radio. This is the joy of this mess. I mean, it's you can't plan this. And I think right. that's why we do what we do.
Right. So with that, let me get out. We're going to get out of here. Let me play my last spot. We're done for the day. Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer. We will be back next week. Chris, what do you always say?
Don't follow us home, especially with that blank Lincoln town car.
All right, so we're out of here on 90.3 WHPC. See ya.
Bye.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.